Love revisiting those old songs. I've said it many times how that I do like some of the new ones, but I love the doctrine that we find. Here's my heart, Lord. Boy, I love that. I want you to turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 14. I walked out from the office down here and Richie asked me, he said, "You say chapter 14?" I said, "I think so." Miss Sky said, "Aren't we going backwards?" I said, "Yes, my dyslexia kicking in. We're going backwards on it." But Joshua chapter 14. We'll read a verse of scripture here in just a minute. Let me tell you why we're going backwards for just a minute. Probably about a month ago, the Lord gave me these thoughts and I wrote them down and I put them into a sermon form. And I didn't ever get the opportunity to share them. And I was going to share them on a Wednesday night. And then I was going to share them again this past Wednesday night. And that got cast aside. And I'm thankful for it. But they were on my heart. And so I just wanted to share them with you. Some of these things. So yes, we are kind of going backwards a little bit. We'll pick it up in chapter 21 this next Sunday. But I don't want us to miss some of these wonderful spiritual truths that we have found in this study. The book of Joshua has been such a help to me and such a blessing and such conviction to me in so many ways. So if you're physically able, go ahead and rise to your feet. Let's just honor the public reading of God's Word in Joshua chapter 14. And I want you just to look in verse number 1 and read these words and you'll recognize them from a previous study that we had, Joshua 14 and verse number 1. "Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day." Now, anytime you see that, "unto this day," I wondered for years, what's that mean? Does that mean today? It just means the point of when it was actually written, okay? "Unto this day that it was written." He goes on to say here why that's the case. "Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." After studying this verse of Scripture, this area of Scripture, three or four weeks ago, my mind kept homing in on that word holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. When you look at that word holy in the Word of God and in this context here in the Old Testament, it means literally to fill or to be full of. To fill or to be full. The word is actually implying that there is no room for anything or anyone else besides God. Holy followed the Lord. In other words, unless that it was a person that was focused on the Lord or a thing that was pointing Joshua to the Lord, Joshua had nothing to do with it. So we could actually read it this way without doing any damage to the integrity of the Word of God. "With a full heart, spirit, mind, soul, just life in general, Caleb followed the Lord. He never went his own direction. He never did his own thing." Can I put it this way? Caleb was glued to God. Caleb was glued to God. And so now that we know a little bit about the life of this man, Caleb, we can understand all from the areas of Scripture that speak of him, but particularly in this one as well. Oh, Caleb, he made some decisions at one point in his life that he was going to serve God. He was going to do what was right in his life. And these were things that he made choices in that he was not going to violate his spiritual conscience. He was not going to dial anything to his life that was going to hinder his spiritual walk, his direction that he was going to go for God. And so I want to speak to you for a little while this evening on this very simple thought. Never. Now, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, I do pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us just to understand the simple truth of your word. Draw people to you in whatever way is needed, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. A store manager heard his clerk tell a customer one day, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any of that for a while, and it doesn't look like we're going to have any anytime soon." horrified the manager was by this. The manager came running over to where the clerk was with the customer, and he said to the customer, "Of course we're going to have some soon. We placed an order, should be in the next week or so." The manager then drew the clerk, his employee, aside and sternly said, "Never, never, never say that we are out of anything. Always just tell them that it's on order and it will be here in the coming days." And then the manager asked the clerk, he said, "So what did the lady want?" To which the clerk replied, "Rain." Rain. Listen, before you start making promises about some things, you better make sure that you can actually deliver on them. You better make sure that you know exactly what you're talking about, that before you say never, it is something that you can legitimately say never to. Now, if you've been with us in our study here of the book of Joshua, here we were in chapter 20, you know basically where we are in this study, and you're going back here five or six chapters to the 14th chapter, and just to give you a quick update of where we were in chapter 14, you remember, of course, God's people, they had long since crossed over the Jordan River, and they had conquered the land, and now they were in the division of the land process. And so Joshua is dividing the land among all the tribes, and here we are introduced to this man, Caleb. Boy, the more that you study and learn about this man, Caleb, the more you learn to love him, appreciate him, and respect who he really was for the Lord. And Caleb, of course, was one of the spies that had gone out into the land all the way back in Numbers 12, 13, and 14. You remember all of that story. And he was one of the spies that had gone into the land. And one of the areas that Caleb had gone to was the area of Hebron. Do you remember Hebron? We talked about it even this morning. It's all through the Bible. It is a rich territory in the Holy Land and in the history of the people of God. Well, he went and he was spying over the land of Hebron, and he decided on that day, this is the land that I want. And so Caleb goes and he says, this is the land I want. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to honor God. And God's going to give me this land one day. And so, Lord, through the mouth of Moses, and then later on with Joshua as he was dividing it up, and you know the story, God gave Caleb this land of Hebron. And he said, you go get it, and you go and conquer it. And you know how Caleb did it. What a mighty warrior and what a mighty servant of the Lord Caleb really was. Early on, there were some things in the process of Caleb's life, though, Caleb just simply said no to. He said, never, no, never am I going to do this or am I going to do that. And the fact of the matter is, Caleb meant it. And Caleb proved it by the way the Bible tells us that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. There are three things in this passage of Scripture that we are seeing, and in the passages that are surrounding it, there are three things that we are seeing that I really want you to get in your heart today of how that we see this truth, never, no, never, that is given to us with Caleb's life. And so I want you to think about these three things. First of all, in reference to Caleb, he never, no, never, he never craved the sin of his past. Get that. He never craved the sin of his past. Now, when we go back about 45 years from where we are in Joshua chapter 14, all the way back to the wilderness journey of the people of God, right back in Numbers chapter 14, when you go back into Numbers 14, you've got Moses is still alive. He is still the leader of the nation at this point, and Moses is the one that's calling the shots. And you're seeing all of this come together in chapter 14, as we were referring to just a moment ago. And then in verse number 23, read these words, the Lord speaking, of course, here through the mouth of Moses, later on confirmed by Joshua. Verse number 23, he says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked, if you have your Bible open there, underscore that word provoked. It's speaking there a bit of anger that provoked them, neither will they see it. Now, I share that verse of Scripture, verse number 23, with you simply just to lay the foundation for verse number 24, because you need to understand what was really unfolding right there. So hold on to verse number 23, and you listen now to verse number 24. Then he says, but my servant Caleb. Did you see this? God is saying, I'm not going to give this land to this crowd of people in verse 23. But verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb. Now, I like that word servant. It is identifying Caleb as a man who served God, a man who made his life not being afraid to be a servant to the Lord. Have you ever met some people before where they're just not interested in doing certain things in the service of God? They're not interested in cleaning the toilets. They're not interested in cleaning the gutters. They're not interested in sweeping the floor, or mopping the floor, or going out on highways and hedges on a 99-degree day or whatever it might be. They're not interested in the things that's going to get them dirty, the things that's going to get them sweaty. Many people aren't interested in crawling under the building to get a dead possum that's been under there for weeks, are they? They're just not interested in doing that. Caleb was the guy when there was a need around the nation of God that came up, no matter how dirty, no matter how involved, no matter how difficult it was going to be, when somebody needed to have the toilet clean, Caleb's hand went up and said, I'll serve God doing that. When somebody needed the floors mopped, Caleb's hand went up and said, I'll serve God doing that. I wish there were some Calebs around here that night that we had to go under that building and get that possum, because had there been a need, Caleb would have thrown his hand up and said, I'll go under that building and I'll get that possum out down there so these kids don't have to smell that in vacation Bible school anymore. Do you understand me? Caleb was a servant of God. He didn't mind being called a servant. This was before Caleb was a mighty commander, before he was a major, a colonel, or a general in the Israeli military. He was a servant of God. He wanted to be a servant. Friend, if you want to be a general in God's army, then you better get used to being a servant to start out. God will never promote anybody immediately to general. He takes those that are willing to be a servant first. I was listening to something Kenny Baldwin was preaching. I heard him preaching one night. He was talking about C.T. Townsend and how God has used Brother C.T. And we appreciate Brother C.T. and some of the things that he does. But Kenny Baldwin was talking about it one night, and he said the first time that he met C.T. Townsend, and the way that Kenny put it, he was putting lines in the carpet at Victory Baptist Church as a young college student at Victory Baptist College. And Brother Kenny said, God knew God was going to use this young man because he was not afraid to be a servant. Today, Brother C.T. preaches to thousands of people every week all over the world, but it all started out with a man who was willing to be a servant, somebody who was willing to run the vacuum cleaner, somebody that was willing to mow the grass, somebody that was willing to do the dirty work, the servant's work, not under the spotlight, but God gradually promotes those that start out in that servant's position. So you see in verse number 24, but my servant Caleb, and I love this, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. He goes on to say, him am I going to give this land to. I'm not going to give it to the rest of this crowd, but I'm going to give it to a servant, somebody that has followed me totally. When you look at that verse of Scripture, you see that old Caleb, he just had a different spirit about him. He had a different attitude. He had a different approach, an atmosphere, a different glow that was on his face. There was a radiation of God that was coming off of him, far different from anybody else in the nation. And in particular, he's talking about these other 10 spies in this time. He just wanted to be used of God, and he was a servant to the Lord. He had a different spirit about him. Okay, as you look further in this, we remember that Israel, they had just come out of slavery to the nation of Egypt, right? They were in slavery to them. Now, if you know anything, again, about Bible typology, we were talking about this morning, Egypt is a type of sin in the world and everything that sin has to do with. That's what Egypt really is. And so when you think about Israel had come out of the world, they had come out of sin, they had come out of that bondage, and of course they went into the wilderness and they were pursuing the glorious land of God's promise, everything that God had for them. And Caleb available. It's not quite as deep into it from the time that he joined the nation, of course. And you got to go back and look at the history of that as well. But regardless, Caleb was a man as well who had come out of the past of sin. And he was a man, when we talk about he never craved the sin of his past. He was a man that had come out of the past of the world. And so when the Bible actually tells us that Caleb wholly followed, he fully followed the Lord, do you know that it is actually telling us that he was never controlled? That's what it's speaking of. He was never controlled by the hankering or the craving of those leeks and that garlic and all of those other pleasures that Egypt had to offer. He was never controlled by it. In other words, it didn't run his life. It didn't mean that he didn't think about it. It didn't mean that there was a part of him every once in a while his mind went back to some of those old things of it past. It just means he never allowed it to control his lives. See, folks, when Caleb came out of the world, listen to me, when Caleb came out of the world, he said, never, no, never am I ever going to go back again. I'm gonna follow God now. And the fact of the matter is, when you study his life, Caleb was willing to die before allowing himself to go back into the world where he had come from. Can you imagine that? This was a man that had come out of the world. This was a man that had come out of that picture of the sinful world of Egypt. And he made a decision. He purposed in his heart that I'm not going to go back into the world. If it cost me my life, I'd rather die. I'd rather go on into paradise than to go back into the sin of this old world ever again. That's how determined he was to never crave the sin of his past. Now listen, if you're saved today, you have been called out of the world. You have been called out of that old man, as Joel talks about and sings about. You've been called out of that. The fact of the matter is, I'm afraid that many of us today are still allowing that world to control our lives. It's not a matter that we don't think about it. And there may even be a measure of hankering of it, okay? Our flesh is weak, the Bible says. But it's a matter of letting that old world control our lives. God has given us victory over it through his blood, and we've got to hold on to that. And you cannot allow yourself to be controlled by this old world. Friends, whether it be in an old relationship, whether it be in filthy thoughts, a filthy mind, a filthy language, or any type of action or whatever it is, I'm afraid that some of us from time to time, we still have such a craving, such a hankering, and such a control and a grip that old world has on us that we run back into it from time to time. Not old Caleb, though. Caleb came out of the world and he said, I'm never going back. I'd rather die before going back into the world. And he never craved the sin of his past. God, give us some men and some women today that come out of the world holy in every way and say, never, no, never am I going back into the world. I would rather them bury me in the ground before I ruin my testimony, before I hurt the name of God, before I run back out into the world of drugs and alcohol and all of my past. I would rather God take me on to heaven before I hurt the name of Christ. Caleb said, if it means I have to die and go on to paradise, go on to heaven, if that's what it means, never, no, never am I going back into the world. And so we're seeing right here that Caleb made a decision that he was never going to crave the sin of his past. But he never caved. Are you listening? He never caved to the slander of his peers. He never caved to the slander of his peers. Now, he never craved the sin of his past, but in this case, he never caved to the slander of his peers. Back in the book of Numbers and chapter number 14, again in verse 23. Do you remember? We just talked about verse 23. I said I was going to come back to it. And he says right here, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Provoked. It's talking about some anger there. Anybody ever been angry? Anybody ever provoked you, Brother Daniel, besides me? Anybody ever provoked you? There are so many illustrations that I could give you right now, but I won't for the sake of my own testimony. Every one of us has got that story in our life. My wife is laughing down here at me right now. Every one of us has got that story that's in our mind right now about how somebody provoked you to anger. And you and I, we all know that when that happens to us, the thing that we want to do is pow. We want to take them down. Punch him right in the teeth. Knock every one of them teeth out in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Fall down hard. Fall down hard. Provoked. You see what Moses is saying right here? He's saying, this crowd out here, you got to love Moses. This crowd out here that provoked me, I'm not giving them that land. Of course, speaking under divine inspiration here, God has said, I'm not giving them that land. Now, you've got to understand the context of what is going on. Caleb was in this setting, but you need to know that Moses was not talking about Caleb here. He wasn't referring to Caleb at all. Now, this, of course, is referring to those other 10 spies. You remember the 10 spies that came back and said, hey, there's giants in the land. We can't do anything. We can't go take the land. That's who he's really referring to. Those 10 spies that did not believe God had the ability to take them into the land of promise. That's who he's talking about. But we could give you record after record after record after record in the Word of God over and over throughout the books of the law, over and over again, of how the people of God murmured and they complained and they grumbled all along the way, did they not? But we have no hint, we are given no record that Caleb was ever among any of those. Do you remember verse 24 that we read just a few moments ago? He had a different spirit about him. Caleb never grumbled. Caleb never complained. Caleb never murmured. Their actions and their attitudes, it had gotten so bad at times that they turned their grumbling and their complaining, their provoking on the man of God, Moses. They turned it on him on countless occasions. That's how low and how bad they had gotten in their carnality and their wilderness journey and attitudes and atmospheres that they were in. So as a direct result, what verse 23 is actually telling us is Moses is saying under divine inspiration, because you did not believe God, because you've complained all the way, though God's been so good to you, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, your shoes and your clothes have lasted 40 years. I have proven goodness. I've given you a blanket to keep you warm. I've given you means of keeping you cool. During the hot days of the summer, I've taken care of everything, and you've complained and you've murmured all along the way. And as a result, he said, there's plus 2 million people that's not going to enter the land of Canaan. As a result, you're all going to die in the wilderness with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two guys that started out that God let go into the land of promise. Remember, I'm going for greatness too. And Caleb said, Joshua, I've sat back and I've watched you be used of God, but I'm going to be great too. And Caleb followed the line of that, and he had a spirit about him that God honored and God used in a big way. Now we're looking at this, and as we consider it, We can know that Caleb never got his tongue out of order. Caleb never got his attitude out of order. Caleb never got his actions out of order. Caleb never got his disposition out of order against the Word of God, the workers of God, the will of God, and the work of God. He never got it out of order. He wholly followed the Lord God. He never caved to the slander of his peers. Just because everybody else was running down Moses, Caleb didn't do it. aren't we guilty sometimes of getting into certain settings, perhaps settings we shouldn't even be in the first place, and somebody starts running down this person or that person, some other professing believers, and sometimes we will sit there and we will contribute to it. I've done it, haven't you? Haven't we all been guilty of that at some point in the past, something we've just not liked about something? But here's the thing. Sometimes it's not a matter of us even contributing. It's the fact that we sat there and were silent and didn't speak up and defend against it. I've told you time and time again, I've got your back. Amen. Nobody's going to run down any of my church members in my presence. Nobody is going to do it. And before anybody comes to me and starts running down one of you, what we're going to do is we're going to take their arm and we're coming straight to you and we're going to get it resolved right then and right there. We're not going to run down one another. We're not going to cave to the slander of our peers. We're going to honor the people of God. Not so long ago, there was a pastor in a far distant city from where we are today. A good man. He was doing a good work. Following a special event of the church one night, they had come back from this special event. And after they had gotten back, he was met by three men on the church property. There were three people in the church, good-sized church, there were three people in the church that just did not like him. And called him aside into the church, and this is what they told him. These were the deacons of the church. This is what they told him. They said, get out. This was a Saturday night. Said, don't even come back tomorrow. Said, we don't like you. We don't like your wife. We never wanted you here in the first place. And then they started spreading slander about this individual and the family. Slander about him. Now listen to me. There's no doubt this man, the family in general, whatever, they're not perfect. Nobody is. But nobody who is attempting to serve God in any position at all, in any facet of life, nobody deserves that. And they wore them down to the point that they've even said that they've been hurt so bad, they've been scarred by it so bad, that they will likely never go back into the ministry of God ever again. I am telling you, there is a judgment day coming for professing believers who will tear down other people of God and hinder what God may want to do in the future. God is going to have a moment where that will be judged for tearing people down. Not that I know of, but I'm so thankful that we don't have a bunch of that stuff that goes on here in this place. And I rejoice in that, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for it. But here's what I want you to understand. Every person under the sound of my voice in this building and whomever is listening tonight, every one of us, including myself, are capable of it in our flesh. When we step away from the will of God and we move out of the land of promise and back into the wilderness on the west side over there, when we do that, we are capable of the same thing that anybody else is capable of. Don't get too high. Don't be thinking that you don't have the ability to fall into this matter of slander that is out there. But folks, churches are being torn apart. They're splintering and they're breaking right up left and right now because people are slanderous and they're hurting one another. People's tongues have been set on fire from hell and they are destroying the work of God. They are destroying the lives of other people. And we as God's people must never allow that to happen. Caleb never did it. He said, never, no, never. And he never craved the sin of his past. We have no record of it. He never caved to the slander of his peers. We have no record of it. He was straight on line with God. He never compromised the source of his praise. He never compromised the source of his praise. Now, when we read what we know about the 85 years of Caleb's life, 40 years in the wilderness, 45 years since they had crossed, and he's in this Joshua 14 setting. He said 45 years ago, Moses promised this, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. You remember. And in this period of time, in these years, these decades of time, and what we know about the life of Caleb, we are not ever even given the hint that he was ever among any of that crowd who fell into the idolatry of the nation. Those people that started getting back into that false worship and turned back into idol worship. Remember, the Bible lets us know that he said he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. God had his whole heart. And he said, I'm not going to get in any of that stuff. I know it's fake, and I'm not going to let anything stand in the way of my relationship with the Lord and serving God with my whole heart. I believe that probably the main reason, I've told you this before, that God never allowed the body of Moses to be found was because they were so prone to idolatry, and they put Moses on such a high pedestal, even though they murmured against him, they still put him on such a high pedestal that if they would have had the body of Moses, they would have mummified it and they would have worshipped the body of Moses. And so that's why God said, I'm not going to let you have it. God carried him up on the top of Nebo up there, and God had his own funeral. God was the one that delivered the eulogy. God was the one that dug the grave. God was the one that sang all the songs. God was the one that read the text. God was the one that preached the funeral. And God was the one that dismissed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that funeral. And he buried him in a place that nobody would ever know. And the reason for that, I have no doubt, is because that bunch was so prone to idol worship, they would have worshipped the body of Moses himself, not Caleb. Now listen, Caleb respected Moses, but Caleb did not give his praise. He did not give his worship to Moses. They saw the line. He saw the difference. There's nothing wrong with respecting people. Do you understand that? Nothing wrong with respecting people, but you do not worship them. Not so long ago, there was a church, again in a distant state. The pastor had been there for approaching 20 years or so. It was a large church. And this was a beloved pastor, a pastor that God used mightily. And at a relatively young age, he died. And the church had a hard time finding a pastor. And this is what another pastor told me one day. He said, that church worshiped Jesus and this pastor. Did you know that there are churches all over America today that are worshiping people? Did you know that? They're worshiping people. They're attending a church because of their friends that attend a church. They're attending a church because they like that pastor. They may like the way that he preaches. I don't know that that's the case with anybody here, that you like this pastor, you like the way he preaches. I hope there's a level of that maybe you do. But I can't say for certain that that is the case. But I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, don't you put your eyes on me. Because this guy right here is going to let you down. I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to act a certain way that you just aren't going to like. I'm going to let you down. But I've told you that the God inside of me will never let you down, and you keep your eyes on Jesus. But there are people in churches all over the place today. They are worshiping other people. If these people or that preacher, if they were not in that church, they would not be in that church. Many people go to church for what business connections that they can make. I know that because I was a businessman. I've had the conversations with people about it before. There are people in churches on this Sunday morning, in churches all over the country, but even in our area, they are there because it's going to help their business. They're going to network within the church, believers doing business with believers. That's great. I have no problem with that. I think you should. But that's the wrong motivation to be in the church. People are in churches because they're friends or because this particular preacher is at that church. And because of that, there can be no denying about the reality that their pursuit and their purpose of it, in their attendance in that and their affection in that, is for a person and not the person. Which clearly lets us know that there's something that is amiss in the will of God in that whole situation. One friend or the preacher leaves the church, they follow him. Do you know situations like that? One friend or a preacher leaves a church, they follow him. Now, listen, I'm not in the place to say that all of those folks are out of the will of God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I'm not God. Did you know that? I'm not the Holy Spirit. Every circumstance is different. So to prevent anybody from coming and letting me know that this situation and that was right, or anybody sending me an email or whatever, look, I'm not saying every one of them are wrong. What I do want you to understand is we are treading on dangerous ground when we do that, because we are opening ourselves up to some dangerous things, getting out of God's will, because here's the thing, that is rarely how God works. God just doesn't work that way. He doesn't send people here or send people there based on the friends that are there, based on the preacher that is there. God can do things in certain ways. That's not the way it always works. God has placed you in a place. God has placed me in a place for such a time as this. And we are to embrace that. And we are to do the work of God in every way. And so we are seeing here, Caleb never compromised the source of his praise. He never focused on people. He never focused on things. He never focused on any form of idolatry whatsoever. He focused simply on God and making sure that his praise was always in the right place. Is your praise in the right place? I mean, where are you at on this Sunday night? Are you where you're supposed to be with the Lord when it comes to compromising your worship, when it comes to this matter of idolatry? What is it that is an idol in your life? And you know what an idol is in your life. An idol is anything that gets in the way of you moving forward with God. If that brand new truck keeps you out of serving God, that's an idol. If that boat keeps you out of church on Sunday, that's an idol. Many people, they'll run and they'll see a late night, Saturday night movie. They won't get home until 1 o'clock in the morning. And they'll oversleep, not coming to Sunday school. And even if they do make it to church, they're yawning all the way through it. They're certainly not paying any attention whatsoever. Do you know what we did? We compromised the Lord's day. You don't compromise the Lord's day. Doesn't matter what it is. We don't compromise the Lord's day. I've told you before that if it means we don't have fall festivals and we don't have these huge events on Saturdays, it just wears us out. And they do, don't they? They wear us out, and we come dragging in here the next day. Bless me, preacher, if you can. I'm just in such bad shape. You ought to be glad that I'm here. I'm glad to see you. Oh, I'm just here. Bless you. Just go home. Don't compromise the Lord's day. This is His day. Do you know what happens? Those circumstances become idols in our lives. Going out and those things that get in the way of us being focused on the Lord, that becomes an idol. There are those who worship baseball, football, basketball, fishing, and golfing, and boating, and their landscaping. They worship their TV. They worship this, they worship that, because they are allowing those things to keep them out of the house of God and from the service of God. I know churches in places that won't even have visitation during college football season because they know people won't come. And we better be careful, because there is another 2020 coming where God's going to shut down the God of athletics across our nation. And that's what happened 3 years ago. That has become a god to people. And you begin to worship those things. God is not honored with that. There are those who sacrifice known morality. Known morality. To achieve whatever they want. To make their life better. More financially beneficial. Known morality. just to make things a little bit better for them. And when they're approached about it, when they're confronted about it, when a discussion comes up concerning it, you're getting a little too close to that idol. And then run the other direction. You know what I'm talking about? They've turned into idols in our lives. Every one of us have got something that is in our life that we need to say never, no, never to. We're not going to allow this. We love it so much. And it's not a problem now, but under different circumstances, it could become an idol. Amen. An idol in my life. And folks, when you see that that is a possibility, you better start pulling back and pumping the brakes on some things so that that idol does not take control and root in your heart and root in your life. People say, but preacher, I need my rest. I need my recreation. Oh, and preacher, God understands. No, no, no. When it comes to something that God in His Word has clearly said, you need to know that God does not understand. God will not condone. Furthermore, God will not allow you to have anything in your life or my life that will take precedence over Him. And what we miss so oftentimes is we are delaying or we are totally destroying our chances of having our Hebron, having our communion, our land of fellowship with God, our best spiritual life that we could have with Him, where we're just doing nothing but delaying or totally destroying us being what God wants us to be. Anything, ladies and gentlemen, that takes us away or interferes with our praise and our worship to the Lord, it is an idol. And God will judge us for it. Now, here's the thing. You say, God won't judge me. Yes, God will judge you. Does not matter the size. God will judge you. And here's why. Because if God does not judge you for the idol, He will literally have to go back and apologize to Israel in Numbers 12, Joshua 14. Because He judged them for some of the very same things. I mean, He didn't let them enter into the land of promise. They were buried in shallow graves, 2 million plus of them, out in the wilderness because they made a choice that they were going to put something or someone before the Lord. And I think tonight some of us just need to do a little inventory in our lives. Because God will not, I mean He will not allow us to do that. Here's what scares me. It may have been you preaching on this, Brother Jared. I don't remember. Somebody in this pulpit here in the past several months preached on this. God will remove. He will remove what you and I put in our life that keeps us from Him. And I'm telling you, friends, the cost is great. There's such sensitive things that I don't even feel at liberty right now to go into, but some things that we allow to get in the way of our service to God that are the most dear and precious things that we can hold in our arms. That if we allow that to happen, and we turn this into an idol, God has every right to remove it. Every right. That job that you love, if that job is keeping you from God, God has every right to remove it. That relationship, that boy or girl in your life that is keeping you from God, God has every right to remove it. That husband, wife that just is not living for God and is keeping you from serving God, God has every right to remove it. And the only reason that it is still there right now is because of a merciful God that we serve. God gives us a chance. I don't know, could tonight be the final chance for some of us that are just allowing ourselves to be consumed with these idols? Because we are allowing them to compromise our source of praise to God. Something else has more of our heart than he has. This is the story of Caleb. Caleb said and Caleb proved. Never, no, never. But what if we were telling your story tonight? What if we were telling your story? Thank you, Brother Tim. What if we were telling your story tonight? As you look at your life now, and as you look at what's going on in your world, and what's going on in your life, if it were your story being told, would it be different from Caleb? Caleb said, never, no, never am I going to crave the sin of my past. Cave to the slander of my peers. Compromise. Never, no, never am I going to compromise the source of my praise. Can you say that today? That never, no, never have I caved or craved the sin of my past, caved to the slander of my peers. Never, no, never have I compromised the source of my worship. There's never been anything that's kept me away from worshiping the Lord. Can you really say that? And if not, maybe tonight some of us, it's just God's mercy that He's giving us an opportunity on this Sunday night here, last Sunday night of August, just to fall down and say, dear God, I want to be a Caleb. Never, no, never. Stand to your feet as Brother Tim